Eventually, the North took the string of coastal islands that extended from Savannah to Charleston. DuPont was promoted to rear admiral for this action, and the Union Navy had an invaluable coaling station, supply depot, and repair area for the rest of the war. And over the course of the rest of the war, the North would tighten and tighten and tighten the blockade. It extended its operations north and south from Port Royal, going as far south as St. Augustine, Florida. They captured that point. The harbor at Savannah, Georgia, was closed in April 1862 by a combination of naval and military strength. In North Carolina, General Ambrose E. Burnside, who of course would later command the Army of the Potomac at the Battle of Fredericksburg, as we've seen, he made his first reputation in a joint operation, commanding 12,000 men in conjunction with a naval flotilla of shallow draft gunboats. He steamed into Pamlico Sound toward Roanoke Island, where Confederate defenses controlled the channels between Pamlico and Albemarle Sounds. On February 7th and 8th, 1862, Union steamers towed long strings of surf boats full of troops into the shallows near Roanoke. 2,500 Confederate defenders put up the best defense they could as the Union troops came ashore, but once they did get ashore, the Federals overwhelmed the rebels, and over the next 2 weeks, Burnside's troops fanned up and down this part of the North Carolina coast and soon controlled nearly 150 miles of the Carolina Sound. It's a great victory for Burnside, and one that really made him one of the initial Union war heroes and helped explain why he was given wide responsibilities later. The Confederates mounted their most famous effort to break the blockade at Norfolk, Virginia, in March 1862, when they sent the ironclad Virginia against the blockading squadron. Now, the ironclad Virginia had been built on the wreck of the old USS Merrimack, as I said earlier. It went into action. It's the most famous Confederate ironclad of the war with a classic design. It's a very large vessel with the sloping metal sides and guns mounted all around the inside, both sides, front and back. It destroyed two Union vessels that day, the 24-gun sloop Cumberland and the 50-gun frigate Congress, and damaged three others. A very successful day's work for the CSS Virginia. Confederates were overjoyed. They thought, this is our key to breaking the blockade. The next day, however, when the Virginia went out to complete its destruction, it had a new opponent. The first famous Northern ironclad had arrived on the scene, the Monitor, a very low-slung affair, barely broke water except for the turret, a revolving turret on top, not much of a target. The Virginia was a much larger target. The Virginia mounted a number of guns. The Monitor only mounted two, but in this turret that would turn, they fought their epic duel off Hampton Roads, the first clash of ironclad vessels in history. They fought each other to a draw. Everyone took notice of this. In the U.S. and abroad, the London Times wrote that before the duel off Hampton Roads, the Royal Navy had 149 first-class warships. After the battle, just two. The British Navy had two ironclads. But the Virginia had had its only great day. First, the success, that's the great day. Then the standoff with the Monitor, that was the end of its role in the war. As the Union Army moved closer to Richmond, the Confederates had to try to move the Virginia up the James, and it drew too much water to go clear to Richmond and had to be scuttled. The end of the Virginia in the spring of 1862. The North slowly gained foothold after foothold along the southern coast, including New Orleans, as we've seen in April of 1862. And that was the jewel of the Union efforts there until very late in the war at Mobile. We talked briefly about the capture of New Orleans. It's one of the greatest Union triumphs of the war, and it's a feather in the cap of David Glasgow Farragut, who is the preeminent Northern naval hero of the war. David Dixon Porter would be the second most famous Union naval officer, but Farragut's the most famous. He was born in Tennessee, married to a Virginian, but he nevertheless remained with the Union after Fort Sumter. He was 60 years old in 1861. He had joined the Navy at the age of 9, fought in the War of 1812, fought in the Mexican War. He was aggressive by nature, and he wanted to take the war to the rebels.